Hello, this is your host, Dr. Casey Bradley, and you're listening to the Real P3 Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the pork professionals around the world, and it's brought to you by the Sun Swine Group and Swine Nutrition Management. In this week's episode, I thought I'd pull back the curtains and show you behind the scenes what really happens at the Sun Swine Group and learn more about our data analytics services.
This is going to be kind of exciting because I'm not quite sure how to conduct an interview because sitting next to me, I have Mitch Rowland and virtually I have Dr. Liliana Nolasco, both with the Sun Swine Group. Obviously, this is my team and I'm kind of really excited to feature my two animal scientists and data scientists on this interview. So Liliana, let's start with you. Why don't you go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yes, thank you, Casey. I would like to say that it is an honor to be invited to this podcast. I've been working for you for the past 2 years, and I'm very excited to share with you, with your audience, my insight and my work at the Sun Swine Group. Well, first of all, I am from Honduras, and I used to work for a hatchery plant for 3 years for Cargill, and then we moved here to the U.S. to pursue a graduate education, where I got a doctorate degree from the Texas A&M University in 2019, where I graduated from Poultry Science Department. And I started working there with big data sets because I work with microbial bacteria population. And since then, I did a internship for Hanor, where I started working with pigs and being involved with different kind of research experiments and analyzing data for research. And then I moved to work for the Sun Swine Group, where I've been involved, again, analyzing data and working for big data, getting insight for big data sets for our different customers.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad you put in that you have worked with pigs as well. So, Mitch, go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, everyone. As Casey mentioned, my name is Mitch Rowland. I'm the technical manager for the Sun Swine Group. I completed my undergraduate degree at Southern Arkansas University, and during that time I also worked on a broiler farm in the summer and while I wasn't in class. After graduating in 2017, I worked for an enzyme company as a research associate for the next 5 years. My main role there was assisting with in vivo poultry trials involving enzymes and probiotics. I started my graduate program in poultry science at the University of Arkansas while I continued to work, and I recently finished my master's in May of this year and continuing with my PhD, which I should be wrapping up this coming spring.
Liliana and Mitch, can you walk the audience through the history of what we've done with data? Because obviously as researchers, data has been a thing that I've had to work on all my career. I've had some passions of integrating data and things. And so can we kind of go through the history, and Liliana can speak a little bit about Yaddy IT and our partners and kind of how this kind of all started, if you don't mind, Liliana?
Yes, absolutely, Casey. Well, we as a company providing services for data management, we saw the need to integrate data from the agricultural sector, specifically because agriculture processes are very in places where there is no technology or very low Wi-Fi internet connection. So we needed a tool that kind of provides some functionality under those circumstances. So we developed a tool where we can create models or forms, and we can collect directly the data from the point of collection and send them, securely send those to the cloud, which is the best way to treat your data, to secure it, store those data directly to the cloud and avoid the transposing process. So we developed our own tools, and following that, we started connecting data from different software through API connections, and we now are very expert to integrate those data from in just one platform and analyze those based on our customers' research question. And this applies not just for research data, but also for process. Well, there are, I mean, the amount of data is kind of growing, and the data volume is increasing. So the more data volume you have, there's the more need to understand it, and therefore there are a lot of more data-related issues. So we are here to help. We have helped our customers to integrate their data from the farm and from their research process, and we have developed data products where our customers can see their question being answered by their own data.
Well, that's pretty cool. So Mitch, you actually kind of take it a little step further. Liliana's on the background. She's our developer, our statistician, our modeler, and works with the development team in Ecuador that we work with, Yeti IT. But you're using it with your customers. And can you kind of explain how you've evolved your data? And you've actually helped develop a pretty specialized model for research.
I'd be glad to. At the Sunswine Group, we have developed a data collection application called Easy Entry, with the main purpose of serving as a tool to collect data at the point of collection, and secondly, upload that data to the cloud. Given the nature of our industry, we gave the application an on and offline capability, where when internet connection is available, the data is being uploaded as it's being collected. But in situations where internet is not available, the data is stored within the application and uploaded once the connection is restored. By doing this, we've reduced the need to re-enter clean data post-collection prior to analysis, and it also serves as a level of security and integrity. Once the data has been uploaded to the cloud, a flow can be created to automatically analyze and visualize the data within minutes. Within this application, we also have the ability to develop specialized models, as you mentioned, Casey. One example of this is the Azine model, which is used in pen-level research in poultry. Typically, these types of trials range anywhere from 500 to a few thousand birds and often involve some sort of allocation method to achieve the same or similar pen starting weights. But what I've seen in the past is some of these methods and programs randomly assign chick weights to pens. So even though the starting pen weight were the same, the variability of chicks within each pen was random, leading to a skewed or bimodal distribution. To fix this problem, we designed the Azine model to still result in the same or similar starting weight, but also allocate individual weights based on the overall population. So not only are the pen starting weights the same or similar, but each pen more accurately represents the overall population of the trial, which has allowed us to reduce variability within these types of trials.
So kind of going back to my history, I've had a lot of time to work on data as a researcher. Everything was hand-entered. I meticulously entered the data, did double entry, did different checks and balances for accuracy. We take that into my work with corn quality at AB Vista. It was really neat to not only integrate different customer data to provide insights by a regional corn basis, so potentially even down to the county in Iowa where the corn came from, and to the global spectrum. And then I got to, through this podcast, talking to other people on data. And one of the challenges we've had in the industry is integration of data. And that's because a lot of systems have been built into different platforms. They're not built to talk to each other. We're built to only have one type of form. And so that's kind of when we started this project out on the data analytics and my silent partners came to me for this idea, it was a really big deal for me because I saw the need. And I really saw that even in some innovation projects when I was at DSM. We were looking at camera data, sensor data, feed data, working with Gestalt on some different things. And all that data integration is kind of critical to make decisions. And so it was really a project and an initiative that I saw the need and I took off with it. The problem is I think this kind of segues into our discussion really. And I still think before we're running as an industry and putting data together, there are some learnings or some obstacles we have to face in educating the producers and stuff and kind of explain to them more about the importance of data and why it's more than just collecting the information. And I'll let either one of you kind of discuss that
Yeah, Casey, I just want to say that, yeah, we've seen a lot of kind of resistance to change, and that's a very normal process. I mean, as data keeps growing, our companies in the ag industry, it's kind of, it's used to the way they collect data. And most of them is a manual. They have a manual data integration approach. And so changing that mindset, it takes time. I've seen companies that they want to develop their own data integration platform, and that really takes time. Or I've seen companies that they just want to keep doing the process, maintain the process the way they are doing, because they are not, they have good numbers at the end, so they don't see the need to improve their data quality. So I think at some point those company will reach the need to change their mindset over data integration. I kind of lost your question.
Why is it more than just collecting the information? And because that's the problem. It's the organization of data. We think it's just data collection. We collect this information in PigChimp. We collect this information in Gestalt. We collect this information in Excel. We get this report from the slaughterhouse on our truckloads. And so there's lots of different data. We have water meter readings. We have temperature readings from our controllers. And we can see that on our phone. But there's nobody really integrating that data. So we're collecting data all the way through our process. And that's where I wanted to go with this conversation of why it's becoming even more important to integrate this data and manage it appropriately.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our founding partners, Swine Nutrition Management. Swine Nutrition Management is a consultancy service in South Africa, whereas pig nutritionists have a vision to provide customers with practical, up-to-date, and accurate nutritional information, which will add value to their farming enterprises by moving closer to unlocking the genetic potential of their animals. They develop tailored, cost-effective feeding programs for customers. Their approach is not to develop least cost, but rather best cost feed programs. By reviewing the entire cost structure of the farm, this includes a deep understanding of the production equation, which is driven by throughput, productivity, and feed efficiency. Now back to our episode.
Yes, I think you say something very, the key point is that there is more data coming from our process. So as I mentioned, the more data you have, if you don't analyze it, it's useless. So you need to analyze that data for you to get some insight. So for you just to say, okay, I have a very good performance, but at what cost? I mean, are you considering the temperature, like the other data that is also producing that data performance, for instance? So the more data, the more need that you have to analyze it. So data itself, it won't tell you anything. It will tell you nothing if you don't process it, if you don't analyze it. So you need to be capable to do that. And if you don't have the resources to do that, it's kind of, you won't, the data is useless, as I say.
Well, Mitch, let's switch over to, you're using our data tools and we're using it from a nutritional perspective. We're getting the data from our customers. We have their feed data. We have our formulations programmed in. We're getting their performance data. And now this is a poultry example. We also do nutrition for them on swine. But how are we utilizing that data to help them make the right decisions as their nutritionist?
An example that we went through recently, weather changes, right? We saw that our chill weights were really high and we needed to bring them down because we had a diet that was too high in energy for the weather. The birds were eating more. And so they were gaining more weight. So we had to drop that energy down a little bit. And had we not had the data to show that curve, right, then we wouldn't have been able to make that decision as quickly as we did. And then we followed that up by seeing that our trend is still going down and we were about to start dropping below the chill weight, the target chill weight. And so we had to level the diet back out to kind of hopefully level that chill weight back out. And so fresh example. We're still working with it, but we've got the data in hand and it's coming quickly enough to be able to make those decisions in a timely manner.
And I would say with this customer, from a nutrition perspective, we've been working with them almost a year now, but we have 2 years of data from them by different farms. So we're already discussing the fact that we can go back and look at the different farms or different contract growers growing these birds, that we may put them on a different program. They have some producers, this is going to sound weird for the integrated market out there, that use a single phase or a two phase. Regardless of pigs or swine or pigs or poultry or other species, I know a single phase is kind of scary, but the type of niche producers we work with, this is quite common because of limitations of feed ordering, feed storage, purchasing capabilities. But now that we have the data and Liliana's kind of looked through it, we're going to probably make decisions to say, well, farm A needs to start on a high energy ration, but farm B can start on the low energy ration. So because it's so critical with this producer that our chill weights are steady and meet the consumer's needs. So we don't also have the ability to say that we can market these animals any earlier with their type of marketing and the retail focus of their business. They have to market at a certain age or day, and that doesn't matter if it's a pig or poultry. So it's really, we're having to fine tune our nutrition to really meet their business needs, because if they can't sell their meat and they have a bird or a pig or a pork chop bigger than the size their consumers want to buy, that impacts their profitability, which then ultimately, you know, long term, will they continue to work with us and have value? So that's just a great example on the nutrition front of how we're applying this. On the research front, though, we really looked in of how to service research, because I've been a researcher and I've also worked for companies and worked with contract researchers. And one of the main complaints that I hear from a lot of the companies trying to do research and some challenges in the academics or other facilities is that instantaneous results. It takes them a very long time to get the final data back. And so Liliana, kind of walk us through the service that we set up or our capabilities on research that we can do to provide real-time data access and understanding of the trial while it's occurring.
Yes, Casey. So we have our own tool to create forms. So that form is going to be built based on the parameters that one research project needs to take over the project time, the experiment time. So this model gets the data on real time and connects it to the cloud, where it is stored in a database, and then that database, ahead of time, we can set up all the analysis and all the visuals for us to have it almost in the same day of the data collection. So if you have an experiment and you know that you will take data in different weeks, you can set up your template for different phases of different weeks. So if you collect the data today, so in a matter of 2 or 3 hours, you will have the result, and that graph is going to be will show you your data, the data that you have collected. And that is very helpful and useful in the event that you find an outlier, or probably there is something that doesn't make sense and help gives you some time to make arrangement or to see, to go back to the research experiment and see if it really was a typo or a mistake, and you can retake that data the same day. That's kind of give you some room to make some amendments. And at the end of the experiment, you won't need to wait for someone to make the analysis, just to have an overview, because you have seen how your research data has been behaving since you started entering data to this model. And this is one of the services that we offer. And we are very happy to have it.
Well, definitely. And this was a huge need for me. And, you know, seeing it work for both research and then for the producers in any type of data is kind of really exciting, in my opinion, because the research example you talked about, we're investing hundreds of thousands of dollars into research, depending on the product or the project. It could be millions by the time you're done. And even as a research manager, if I would have had something to show me my mistake faster, like that day that I'm talking instantly, I just got done weighing and I'll pin 100 or whatever the number is way lighter than it should be. And if I would have had that tool to visually have my employees see that, I may not have had to be so intensely involved in the process from literally I get done weighing to entering the data and making sure I don't have outliers to where that tool would have just said, hey, you need to go weigh pin 100 over again. And that's what we were trying to develop as a flaw that I found in managing research. And then taking that a step further, that tool, if you're we could take it to breeding sows. So we know our production target, our KPI target is maybe, let's say, 90% for the farm. And we're going through and we're doing 30-day, 28-day preg check on our sows. And we could just, since this is a pork example, and you really want to know what you're doing, well, the farm manager, maybe he's entering all the paperwork and he can see it as they're entering the data from that sow. Yes, no, like the screen's going up. And we have another producer, which you'll, one of our customers, you're going to hear from next week, the Hanor system. And some of these farms, they have put in smart boards into the sow farms. So they have visuals. So that living data, that access to that data, their employees at the farm can visually see it in a format that they understand and can say, yay, we did really great. Or, oh, we need to get better. So I thought that was kind of a unique thing that I learned that even the Hanor system's doing with some of their data. And smart TVs or smart boards, as they call them, that you have that living KPI. And it's not just those big whiteboards anymore with dry erase marker, but it's something visually that is easier for people to interpret. Maybe they're not good at math. They can see it visually, though. And so I think that's some of the kind of the evolutions that we've found.
But, and Casey, I would just want to add, there is also value for a company trying to set, when they set up trials with a university, they can get that information on real time instead of waiting until the trials is finished and have the all the results, because this company, they can access the data from day zero, from day one. So they can see how their experiments, it's been it's going, the experiments throughout the experimental time.
So let's kind of talk about the future, because we've learned a lot. We've done a lot of building in a lot of different tools. So we've used Amazon tools, we've used Tableau, and now we're moving into Microsoft. Kind of talk about, Liliana, your future for our data analytics service.
Yes, Casey. So we have the knowledge for to attend our customer based on their needs. So if they are currently using a Microsoft license, so we are kind of becoming experts and knowledgeable into that area to serve them better and offer them a data integration platform that's kind of aligned with the tools that they already have in place. So we are growing as a company in the data integration realms, and we now can have the capability to integrate in different platforms and using Microsoft and using Amazon if they don't have something as like a Microsoft license. Yeah, so we are growing, and our team in Ecuador, they have the support to fit the need of a customer if they don't decide based on their processes what's the best data integration platform that's suitable for them.
Yeah, I would say the evolution from my standpoint and of why we've talked about using different systems, because when you get the IT team involved, it's a little more challenging. And I did not know much about security or how, in depth they go. And what I found is we built our own platform. We called it Pigismo and kind of changed the name to Agismo. But really, I think the best way for people to get to use the data is in their own systems. So either that's SharePoint, Microsoft Teams, Google, or AWS, however you're using those tools. And so we wanted to evolve with that. And that's kind of where, if we don't have the expertise, we bring in the expertise. But the core business of our data services is to help you manage your data and make sense of it. So even the evolution from the producers, we found that besides the Hanor system, which you'll hear from Amanda next week on the episode, but really a lot of them weren't looking at the data. And so what my customers really need is, okay, here's our data, and they need somebody to tell you what it means. Like, okay, I got to go tell the CEO that, we're going to be short or we're going to be over this month. And he's going to want to know why. And so that's kind of where the evolution in my mind is going for the producer side of things, is that we're going to kind of explain what went wrong with the data. And I would say we also have that service that we offer on the research side, Liliana, is that you do some descriptive statistics work. You do some deep diving into people's data set and find missing key points of that data. And I think if you're listening to this and you feel like you don't know what to do next with your data or where to take it, I also caution you that you're talking to organizations that understand agriculture data, because, we've looked at some different partners to help us scale, and it is always challenging that agribusiness seems to still be a little different. And so that's where we're trying to bridge the gaps or fill in the gaps. Is that not only can we provide you with data management, data integration, custom application development, but we can also interpret that data for you and help you make decisions, because that's what we are. We are animal scientists, and obviously I've been doing that for years, and Mitch and Liliana are younger to the industry, but really seeing them grow and find things that I don't find, I find that really interesting. But I'm going to segue Liliana and Mitch into kind of the next thing we wanted to talk about. And it's really the life cycle of data. So we talked about, we have all this data. We talk about a service we offer, but kind of walk us through. Mitch, I'm going to have you start on the collection methods. And then we'll move over into kind of what Liliana does after the collection. Kind of walk us through what needs to be handled with data and to make it a success of using all your data to make key decisions.
So, like everyone, I'm sure we've seen all different types of data collection methods, from the back of napkins or cardboard boxes that you find in the control room, or onto an Excel sheet that's on a tablet or a phone, or into some sort of data collection application. And sometimes it's not all of those will work in every situation. Obviously, the cardboard and napkin examples, like bottom of the list on the ways that data should be collected.
I think you're throwing a punch at me because I was doing math on a napkin the other day.
Yeah, but you weren't collecting important data. You were just doing napkin math. So I'll let it slide. But we also run into situations where customers may not use technology. And so we have to find workarounds for that. And there's never going to be a silver bullet on the way to collect data. But the idea is to collect it in a manner that is the safest and most efficient as possible, given that situation. And so that's part of the reason that we built this tool, right? So that we can build those forms and collect data directly into it. But we didn't want to lose the ability to pull data in from an Excel sheet. Sometimes it may be easier to collect data in an Excel sheet or compile it in an Excel sheet and then upload it through the tool to get it into the database. So trying to not pin everything down to it has to be done this way every single time, and being flexible to accommodate the different situations that we run across in the ag industry. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard the saying before that farmers and people in the ag industry work their 40 hours before Tuesday at lunch. And so trying to throw something new into their situation that they have to learn, sometimes we can get a little bit of pushback on that as well.
Well, I definitely agree. And, you know, my childhood and growing up on a hog farm came back to me as with our current customers, we work with a lot of Amish contract growers. So there's still a lot of those colonies out there. They're really good animal caretakers. And you want to know somebody who knows their data and knows their KPIs and what their herd's doing. They know it without a computer. They can tell you exactly what's going on. But when we look in the larger systems, obviously we don't have that capability, but we still need to be able to service those type of producers all the way up to everybody has got a tablet. But when we get to storage, just another thing, I still have a banker's box and I have not opened it in the last few years to see if it's become a nest for mice, but I still have a banker's box full of my data from my PhD. All my video discs that I have of all the videos, all my raw data things, and it still smells like pig, by the way. And so that's kind of where, you know, in storage, Liliana, can you talk about some different digital storage options and not just Casey's banker's box idea?
Yes, Casey. So I just want to mention back about the data life cycle. So the first step is plan. Of course, when you are setting up an experiment and you are designing the proposal, there's a room for you to plan how are you going to collect the data, what parameter are you going to collect. But for a company that is running, I mean, the producers, they don't have time to plan how are they going to collect data. They are taking data. So for capture, I guess one question we need to answer, are we collecting the right and relevant and the proper data? Sometimes our producers are not taking the relevant data. So we as a company, we provide that kind of services in overseeing that data that is being collected is kind of relevant to answer a question. So the other point is when we start to manage is how do they manage their data, which is that the third part of the data life cycle. This is where we need to clean the data and see if there is any outliers or if we need to remove or we have typo. And the next step of the data life cycle is to analyze the data. But for, I need to go back because it's where in the managed point and the managed step is where we decide where are we going to store that data. Are we storing that on a server that is on the premise and on the company, which is kind of the technology that was right before the cloud. And there are some advantages and disadvantages of these. Of course, you need as a company to have someone to provide maintenance and services to that server. So that is very cost effective. Whereas the cloud, storing your data in the cloud, provides you more of security, gives you room to grow a period of time or retract to depending of your need. There is more advantage to have to store your data in the cloud. It's more secure because people in your server provider are giving you maintenance that you are not covering because you are being charged as you use. And that is one of the advantages of having a cloud service to store your data in the cloud. You pay as you use, and you also can have the flexibility to improve utilizing a different tool that won't require you to install that specific software tool in your company. So I think those are the primary ways to store your data. And there might be some hybrid aspect where you can have both.
And I think that's where the maybe the animal scientist or the livestock producer in me is like, what is that? MariaDB, I literally thought for 6 months that he was talking about our developer, a person named MariaDB.
Oh, yes. And that is a, okay. So, I mean, the way you store your data is, are you going to have that on a server in your company on the cloud? So that's another aspect. That is a database tool. So you can manage your data in an Excel file, like a spreadsheet, or use it in a database. So there are advantages and disadvantages. If you're managing a small project with very few data points, of course, an spreadsheet is very useful, but it has its limitations. For instance, Excel, I believe, it only allows you to record like roughly a million rows, and more than that, it is useless. So when you are dealing with a big data set, with thousands of data, it is better to use a database tool. And MariaDB is one tool. It can be there are other examples like Oracle or SQL Server. Yeah, those were also new terms for me, Casey. As a data scientist, as a animal scientist, those terms were kind of new when you are diving into the realm of managing data. It can be overwhelming if you don't know, if you don't have a person kind of direct you what is the best tool for your company. And that's why we are here to help you based on our own experience.
Now a word from the Sunswine Group. The Sunswine Group was founded in 2020 by Dr. Casey Bradley and developed a service-based company to fill in the gaps for agribusinesses, swine and poultry producers, and individuals alike. Our core business focuses on research and development, technical writing, and data analytics. However, this is all a catalyst for Dr. Bradley's passion to faithfully serve through Science Plus Heart. This includes her mentoring programs such as Coffee and Careers in Animal Science and this podcast, The Real P3. And also her training and professional development programs that are now coming under the SunGrow brand. We hope to continue to grow through you, so contact us today at thesunswinegroup.com or on our social media channels, and let's sow the seeds of prosperity together. And now back to our episode.
All the new abbreviations I have learned and acronyms, because the way you say it with your accent, you and Gustavo, is I really thought you were talking about a person. And I literally one day said, who is MariaDB? And it wasn't a person. It was a database. What? That's where our data was. And I'm like, yeah.
Okay. Maria, it's the name. It's a name of a female. It's a female name. My daughter's name is Maria. But it's kind of, I believe the developer named that after his daughter's name. Mm-hmm. I think that's the story back into behind MariaDB names.
And see, and that's a good story that I think that's where some people start glazing over when we talk about data and integration and what we do is they just want to see what goes in. They want that as easy as possible, and they want a nice, we're getting into the visualization and analysis. They want to see that, but they don't realize that major component in between to get you there. And kind of, I mean, in your mind, visualization, how is that critical or component when you're looking at that for us to use as tools?
As an animal scientist or animal scientist in training, I guess, not quite done with a PhD yet, but seeing the different graphs and being able to compare result to a previous result, or even including some predictive modeling that we've done a little bit of and seeing a future potential result, to me is beneficial. But what we've seen from a lot of some of our customers is they want to know what's going on right now, maybe a little bit before, and if there's a problem going on. If not, they don't want to have to, you know, sort through the different graphs and the different visuals and filters and whatnot. They want the answer when they open it. And if everything's good, they don't want to think about it again. And I think we're starting to see that. And I mean, that's something that we have to accommodate. You know, as scientists, we may like all the graphs and the different filters and can look at it this way or that way. But some of the producers may not, and that may not be what they need to do their job. So finding a happy medium where the data that we're showing them, or their data that we're showing them, can give them answers and maybe a little bit of explanation, but also not bogging some people down with the different choices that you can put in the dashboard, because they're endless.
Let's kind of move that over, because Liliana is the true master of data visualization on our team, I think. She can always make it prettier than I can. But let's go into the analytics and the reporting and kind of walk you through that process of the data cycle. So we've talked about planning, which I forgot, that's before collection. So you really need to plan before you collect. And then storage, right? Let's move past Casey's Maker Box that sits in her garage for 2 decades. And we talked about that. Now we're talking about visualization and analysis, because sometimes those are integrated into one. And you talked about filters and things like that. So kind of walk us through that opportunity of analysis into visualization and then reporting to get different key components out of your data sets.
Yeah, I think all depends on the customer's need. What is the research question, or what kind of data they needed to be, that they need to have access like instantly, how they wanted to see their data for us to make the filters. So that kind of conversation needs to be conducted right before starting any graphing or doing any visualization. But from the data analytics standpoint, when you get a project, for instance, just a project that is not an ongoing data, but just a specific project to answer a specific question, for instance, how a company wants to, how can they improve their sales in the next months based on past data. So in that regard, that visualization process is like, you need to do as many data like visuals as possible just to understand what is the story, what story the data is telling you. And based on those multiples visuals, you decide which of those are going to be suitable to explain to your customer or explain the results that your data is giving you. But for a process like a producer process, it needs to be conducted based on the customer's need, the oncoming data. We can filter based on their customer, what they say is that's in a daily or in a quarter of monthly, depends on that. And what are you going to put in that visual is the parameter of the important parameter, what they really need to see from a visual. And for instance, going back to a dashboard, it cannot be heavy. You need to combine different colors, try to be nice, not to overwhelm the dashboard with different visuals. And if you can summarize with one visual, like different parameters just in one visual, it's better, not just to have one visual per parameter. So there are a lot of things to considering when doing when creating visuals, and that takes time sometimes just to arrive to the right visual for your customer.
And I was going to say, kind of from our perspective, we've used our own data to make our decisions as well. So it's really interesting of if you're listening to this, and I work in marketing, it doesn't apply to me. And I've seen reports from marketing. I've seen, you know, progress reports on sales and stuff in my career. But I would also say from a marketing perspective, we do utilize our tools.
we use our data collection tool, and then we do our analytics in Jump or R Studio or Python. So Liliana's a little more prepared to do it in different ways than Casey. But, you know, let's take the real P3 statistics. So I analyze this to say, and we're well over the time, by the way, of my data analysis. I would already say it's 20 minutes, 22 minutes is the average listener time. But we use that to say, okay, we need to keep this short and sweet. And so this is kind of where I'm wrapping up everybody as well, is that we use that to track that, what type of social media posts that you're engaging in and different things. So not all my changes were by choice, because there are certain ways Casey likes to do things, but the data has told me Casey needs to change. And so that's kind of where we've seen a lot of different things in my business. And you may say, well, she's all over the place and trying different things, but you all probably didn't realize that you're in one of Casey's master experiments to really understand the best communication styles and ways to communicate science to people. And that's kind of what we do. And I just kind of wanted to bring on to show that it's not just Casey, it's a group. There's a reason I put group at the end of Sunswine, and it's not just the Casey show, because I really wanted to bring in talent and really wanted to create tools and services that help our industry thrive and become more sustainable. And before we go, I'm going to give both my guests and employees an opportunity to leave the last minute thoughts around data collection. And I'm going to start with Mitch and then leave it with the expert, Dr. Nolasco.
Yep. So I think the mindset around the data might need a little bit of a shift in all aspects of industry, because, you know, when you talk about early in my scientific career, when I had data to look at, I was like, oh man, I got to go enter all this data. But it shouldn't be like that. We have the technology now to automate these processes, to make data not a time sink, but something that could be beneficial to a business if handled in the correct way. And so I think shifting our mind around how we handle, visualize, and use data as an industry and as a global economy might need to start shifting.
Liliana?
Yes, I just want to add a little bit of what Mitch said, is that, as I say, data has done nothing but grow. Just to give you some perspective, Google processed more than 40,000 searches per second, and YouTube has almost 2 billion users. So there is technology to process that amount of data. So technology is there. We know how to use those technology, and we are here to serve our customer based on their needs. That's all that I want to say.
Well, wonderful. And I'm here to move science and make better decisions that lead to a sustainable future and feed the world. So great to have the team on here, and you kind of opened the back curtains, and you can kind of see we're just not a podcast or a social media outlet. We do a lot of cool stuff with a lot of different companies. And I just want to thank everybody for following us on The Real P3. And before we go, as always, if you get a chance today, hug a pig for me today.